Welcome to the Equity Team Podcast, where we provide Sedona, Arizona real estate insight to help you thrive during your next real estate transaction.
All right. Welcome back, investors. We've got another really fun episode for you here today. Joined with us is Chris, who is a client. He purchased a property in Sedona. That's a short-term rental. And I thought it'd be really helpful for investors out there to kind of hear his story and what the experience was like for him. Chris, thank you for joining and thanks for helping out the investors. Thanks for helping out our audience.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So diving in, just a little bit of background here. So Chris and I, back in the day, we kind of met online. He found me with some of my other material and kind of heard about me as far as being a short-term rental specialist. And so we had our first, you know, Zoom chat. It's a way I really like to connect with new clients so that I can show properties and all of that kind of thing. But we, we just kind of jumped in into the deep end and just started looking, you know, online, looking at properties and running kind of short-term rental return analyses on properties. And so eventually put in an offer and got it accepted, went into escrow, did inspections, and that property needed some work. So this is going to be good to kind of hear Chris's version and his story on events and how things are looking now compared to how they were looking then and what he's gone through with this whole thing and how it's performing now, of course. So how is your property? Let's start kind of current and work our way backwards. How's your property doing now?
It's doing pretty well. You know, the first 6 months or so is a little tough. You know, you're starting from zero. You don't have any reviews. So it takes a while to build a reputation. But things are going pretty well right now. I was just kind of looking at the numbers, getting ready for this call. And with the reservations we have on the books already through the first half of the year, I've already got 75% occupancy, which will, you know, will only go up from here as we'll fill in some of those empty dates that are still left.
Yeah, that's amazing. And my expectation is, especially since you're already 75% occupancy for 2024, you're probably going to hit 85, 90% occupancy, if not better, you know, by the time we get to the end of the year, just as it fills in. So I'm really excited about your property.
Hopefully. And then, you know, the occupancy is great. I will say that the average daily rate is a little lower than I expected going in. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that plays into why the occupancy is so high. I think that when my rate's a little low, that pushes me up in the search results on the OTAs and helps me get bookings. So, you know, there's a trade-off there between rate and occupancy.
Yeah,
but overall the numbers are pretty close to what I was hoping for when I started.
Good, you know, based on that occupancy, I mean, here we are halfway through first quarter of 2024, and you're already 75% occupied for the year. That's an indicator.
First half of the year.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, first half of the year. That's an indicator to me that your ADR is probably low, like you said, and so you'd make a lot more money this year if you bump it up, even 5, 10%, you know, bump it up a little and that's going to serve you well.
Yeah. And we did that a few weeks ago and the reservations have definitely slowed down a little bit, but it's hard to say whether that's because of the rate change or just because there's not that many dates available, you know, for the first half of the year when people are looking.
For sure. You know, Chris, your story with what's happened with this property is a little bit more challenging than average. You know, the average client that I have, we don't have like these kind of surprises that sort of surfaced for you. So I would love for the audience, for the investors that are watching this to kind of be able to learn from what you've gone through. So how would you describe kind of, let's start with the early process. So as far as us meeting and kind of talking and planning and lining up the financing and all of that, that part went pretty smoothly, but let's start there. How did that feel? How did that go for you?
Well, I think, you know, going all the way back to the beginning, it did take a while to find a property. I was probably, searching for about 8 months, with your help. And I had honestly just about given up. And then you came to me with a few opportunities that one of the, and ended up one of those, worked out. It was a home that I liked and the numbers worked. And so that was exciting. So I had to be patient, and to find just the right property. But the buying process overall went pretty smoothly. I mean, it was a little, I wouldn't say difficult, but probably more time consuming than I expected to get the financing and to get the insurance. Mm-hmm. Some of the financing was maybe a little bit unique to me since I'm retired and I don't have a monthly income stream. I'm living off my savings. You know, it was kind of tricky for banks want to calculate your debt to income ratio. You know, what's your monthly income?
Yep.
So, I had to find the right loan product mm-hmm. that would fit for my profile.
Yeah.
And also the insurance, I had to go, I tried four or five different insurance companies. You have to find one, short-term rental policy is different from your standard homeowner's policy. There's different coverages that you need. So you had to find, it took me a while to find that. And also there were some companies that were avoiding Sedona, more conservative ones just because of wildfire risk. It's in the middle of a national forest. So
yeah. And at that time there was a burn going on. There was a fire and so they were a little bit, their hackles were up a little bit, the insurance companies.
Yeah. And that's not unusual. We lived in California as well. And, you kind of face the same thing there. Even, I was in the middle of a huge suburban area, but mm-hmm. there is a little bit of, there's always, if there's some huge conflagration, I suppose there's some risk, but so some companies just avoid those areas completely.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, like as is normal, as is typical for these transactions, we got inspections. And so how did you feel about that part of the process?
Yeah, that's kind of where the surprises happened, I would say, because this was a pretty new house that I bought. So I was thinking, okay, going in, there's not going to need to be a lot of work done. Mm-hmm. But the inspection did uncover a lot of deferred maintenance mm-hmm. things that, and I think looking back, the owners of the house were investors, and so I think they were not, they were probably not putting the money into it.
Yeah,
that needed to be done on they weren't doing the infrastructure type things. They were doing the fun, shiny object type things to make it look.
That's right.
Attractive.
They tried to really leverage their dollars that they could sell it for the most possible and move on. Yeah. Right.
So luckily, we had negotiated some concessions from the seller, so that covered a chunk of that. Mm-hmm. But there was more, and there was more that came up. I had a structural engineer came in after the close just mm-hmm. to check on some other things, and that even uncovered not a huge problem, but other investment that I needed to make to really get the house solid for the long run.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that I would have done differently because, mm-hmm. I got a pretty good deal on the house mm-hmm. as it was. And so, I had some room to sink a little bit more money into the repairs and getting it up to the standards that need to be a rental.
Yeah. And of course, Chris, that's music to my ears, because not only was this thing, it was challenging, which isn't music to my ears, but even with the challenges and some unexpected costs, that it still has worked out really well for you, and here you are finally, you're at a position where you've got a performing property. It's cash flowing the at least the next, 6 months or so, or next 4 months or so, it's looking really, really good, which is a great indicator. It should continue that way. And so I love hearing that. Do you have any advice for investors out there as far as either the during the escrow chunk of time or the after close of escrow time? Any advice based on your lessons you've learned through this?
Not so much then. I think, I think going into it, you've got to expect some surprises. So I think and luckily I did. I think having a little cash cushion is important mm-hmm. so you can absorb some of these early things. You might take a little more investment up front. And, there are slow periods in the revenue as well. So, you've got to get through those early on until you can really get things get things going. So I have a little extra cash cushion. I would say, and you know, I had a little bit of, you know, even with these surprises, you know, that my cash on cash returns only, I just re-looked at it this morning to get ready for this discussion. And it's only about, it's only dropped 1% from what I had modeled before we got started.
Okay.
So it's pretty close. And I kind of had allowed for a little bit of downside, you know, in case things were, there were some surprises.
Okay. Good deal. And, you know, that return should only, that percentage return should only increase as well, you know, not only as the bookings fill in, but also as your ADR increases and all of that, it's going to build on there for you. Now without giving any of your secret sauce away, you know, your secrets, what would you say has really helped to boost your short-term rental performance? Whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Sure. I think I would probably highlight two things. I think the location of the property, and always in real estate, you know, location, location, location. So that's that's no secret. But I think in my case, I think it's really helped. My property is really in the center of things. So I can really promote that fact pretty heavily in my listing. And, you know, when people, I think a lot of people when they're searching on the OTAs, they're looking at a map, especially people that have been to Sedona before. They kind of know where they want to be, so they're searching on a map. So you know that location is key. And then second thing is for me, I think having a pool has made a big difference, because I know a lot of my guests are booking it because of the pool. I can tell because they're asking questions about it. And and then that also helps me have pretty strong revenue in the summer months.
That's right.
When it's, you know, July and August, when it's pretty hot in Sedona.
Yeah.
At least that I have a pool, you know, are still going to get booked when others, you know, that's kind of a low season.
That's right.
Overall. The heat.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So those two things have been helpful. I know, you know, last July, when on the national news, all you heard every day was in Phoenix, you know, it was above 110 degrees every single day. I still had 70 or 80% occupancy last July. You know, because of the pool.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, cool. Now, if you're comfortable sharing it, any further improvements that you're planning to make to your property to further boost it?
Well, that's a little bit undecided. I'm still kind of digesting the purchase. You know, still within year one of my purchase, but there's definitely space to add more sleeping capacity. You know, I could add, you know, up to four more beds probably if I wanted to.
Four more beds or four more occupancy?
Four more single beds, so four more to the occupancy.
Okay.
And then also a bathroom. Which is, that's probably the first step I would take is to do that project. Yeah. But that's a big decision. I haven't reached it yet. It's a big decision because in order to do that, not only do you have the expense of the project, but you have to shut down the property while it's going on. So you're giving up revenue as well. So it's I'll have to really run the numbers and go back to, you know, looking at comparable properties that have, that look like the house that I would want to become, and see how much revenue, extra revenue I might be able to get, and then kind of do the math. So,
It's, and by the way, knowing your property, and this is good just for people to kind of hear this, but based on knowing your property as I do, you know, the adding the extra occupancy and the bathroom, it's probably going to boost your annual revenue by about, it's pretty significant. I mean, at least 20%. And what a lot of my other clients are doing is when they have projects like that, they plan ahead and they block off like mid-January until end of February. And they try to just bang it all out in a month and a half. And if it's all lined up, you know, usually it's not a problem. But you got to make sure that it's all done before March and that you're ready for those March bookings, because that's a very profitable month. March is a really good one.
You definitely want to do it doing the work during a low season.
Yeah.
To minimize the revenue loss, obviously.
That's right.
And you really, you know, I'm probably going to look for a very most reliable contractor I can find that somebody that hits their deadlines. You can't have them. You want to shut down the property for as short a time as possible. Yeah. And you need them to hit their deadlines.
Yeah, that would be a crushing blow if the contractors dragged their feet and it took 3 months instead of a month or a month and a half. It would really crush your income.
Yeah, that would be very bad, because if you have to cancel on people, that's one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah. Okay. Now, last question I have for you, Chris, is do you plan to buy another short-term rental in Sedona?
You know, I may. I'm still undecided on that as well. But I think, you know, originally I'd set out thinking that I was going to buy three properties in three different locations, one in the desert, one in the mountains, and one at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But now that after having gone through this process, I can see the advantage of having all the properties in the same location because it really, what's pretty critical to your success is you got to have a good team around you, and it takes a while to find out to put that team together. And once you have it, I think it's, you know, you kind of be nice to leverage that again. And by team, I'm talking about not just your property manager, but, you know, contractors that are going to work on your house, that you can mm-hmm. trust.
Yeah.
And cleaning people and all that kind of thing. And then also there's an advantage of having one place to, you really get to know the market. You get to know your competition. It's pretty much, you just have one market to keep an eye on. You can really pay close attention to it.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I would say, I personally, I travel out and I do some of the work on the property myself, and we like to spend time there. So having all the properties in one place, that means I can just go make one trip, work on multiple houses at the same, in one trip, and then get in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's great. Chris, thank you. So is there anything else you'd like to add before we jump off?
No, I think we hit all the highlights.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. This is really helpful. I'm sure that investors out there really appreciate your time and kind of clarification of what you've gone through. And I'll talk with you soon. Thanks again for joining.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Equity Team Podcast. To speak with one of our top agents, visit us at owninaz.com. That's owninaz.com. Or call us at 928-323-0031.